Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking about supply chain issues this morning. Anath Iyer, Dean of the UB School of Management, is joining us on the WBEN Live Line. We were surprised, Anath, to learn that IV fluid shortage happened this week for hospitals because of Hurricane Helene. Turns out that Baxter International, which supplies IV fluids to hospitals, it supplies them to about half of the country. And I was just wondering, it seems to me like a critical decision to make so much of it in one place when there's a chance of a natural disaster. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think estimates are that the plant supplies, at least Baxter supplies, 60% of the total volume. Now, in normal conditions, making things in one place helps you make it efficiently. I think the challenge is nobody expected this devastating a hurricane to have this big a flooding impact. Now, the positive amongst all this is still a supply chain. So there are other suppliers that can increase their supply. And I think reports are that some of the competitors are going to increase to operating 24/7. And there are many other things you can do in the supply chain. The word management is attached to supply chain management because such things happen. And there are a whole bunch of choices that can be made, at least in the short run, to mitigate the effect. So my guess is if this recovery of the plant happens within the next couple of weeks, I think we should be okay in terms of stopgap measures to solve the problem.
It's not just a natural disaster, though, right? You know, this whole situation reminded us of what we saw with baby formula a couple of years ago, where one plant went offline for a contamination reason, a health reason, and put a massive disruption all across the country on baby formula. And we ran into a similar type of shortage. How many supply chains are susceptible to, you know, one thing happening at one location, really severely disrupting the entire country?
So you bring up a new measure that all supply chain managers are focused on, and that is the idea of resilience. Resilience is different from efficiency. Efficiency, putting it all in one place and making it, might give you the lowest price. But when you test for resilience, you ask the precise question you asked. If one facility goes down, how big is the impact and how long will it take us to recover? So the challenge is that in order to get resilience, you got to pay a slightly higher cost because now you're not producing it as efficiently. This measure is gaining more and more currency. In fact, I was at a conference in Washington, D.C., in which even the federal government is looking at resiliency for various products. You could argue that a lot of the chips are being made in one country in the world, and if they have some kind of an issue, we would all be impacted across many industries. So the reason you see things such as Tech Hub and you see various such initiatives is to provide this resilience. And that's the precise measure. Take one of the things, take them out, see how long it takes to affect. And for different amounts of time it takes to recover, how big an impact will it have on the economy?
Are there other products, we were wondering, that might also, if there was a natural disaster or something else, cause a severe supply chain disruption?
Well, actually, it turns out this is in some sense the nature, this push and pull between efficiency and resilience. So if you just think in general, if you step aside a bit and ask about all the products we don't make that are imported, in some sense, we are beholden to the importing process and the ports and so on and so forth. So there are many, many products as the world becomes more global in scope and we become integrated into the world at large. those issues happen. In the specific case, well, for example, North Carolina, and actually over the next few days, even in Florida, it's there are many products where it becomes efficient to put it in one location that is so. But the biggest impact that you see right away is in the case of medicines, is in the case of food of various kinds, because people need food to survive. But there are products in North Carolina, for example, a lot of cars are assembled there. So if there are issues, then they would see shortages of cars. In most cases, what has been found is that these things resolve themselves in a few days. And that's because the people who build these plants have anticipated that they would face such adverse environments, and they've guarded against it. The only reason you have a problem is if it gets to be an extreme situation.
So you're not terribly worried, even though we've seen, you know, some of the impacts here in Western New York?
Well, the reason is because if you think about all of the levers you have, so if you just think about, for example, IV fluids, there is an option that you can separate out the people who truly need IV fluids versus people who can manage with oral hydration. And oral hydration is, you know, use water, Gatorade, et cetera. So that's one. The second is some elective surgery within reason can be postponed a bit. So, and then the third is the supply chain as a whole has competitors who are going to increase supply. So the only reason I would rest easy is knowing that, and this is a this is an unfortunate thing to say, but the experience of COVID has taught the system that it can, if it came together and everybody called the right parties, et cetera, that we can manage the change. The Health and Human Services has a central location where they track preparedness, and the FDA tracks drug shortages. So at least in the short run, as long as this can be resolved in the next few weeks, I would not worry too much, assuming that it's all hands on deck with respect to hospitals and distributors as far as getting products out.
All right. Good to hear from you this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Anath Iyer, Dean of the UB School of Management.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.